flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a beautiful day. It is sunny. It is clear. It is cool. It is crisp. You know, I'm looking at my 11-year-old son, Brandon, and I know he wants to get out there, you know, take what's left of the snow and try to build some kind of little old silly snowman that's not going to last past 3 o'clock because the sun is beaming down real good. And today I am holding my children a little bit tighter. And I'm thanking God that he's saved. I can't imagine my 11-year-old child in severe pain, hurting, wounded. But that's what an 11-year-old boy is experiencing right now. In St. Paul, he is clinging to life after suffering a gunshot wound to the head last night. In the 800 block of Pierce Butler Route in West Frogtown. How did it happen? Why is there an 11-year-old boy with a gunshot wound in his head? What in the hell happened? According to police, a 13-year-old girl who is a suspect in the shooting was arrested last night several miles away on the 100 block of Charles Avenue. That's not far at all from our state capitol building where laws are made. Where legislation is passed, where the leaders of our state get together and decide how things are going to go, how we're going to run this. Police say that 13-year-old girl was taken to the Ramsey County Juvenile Detention Center on suspicion of second-degree assault. How many more times is this going to happen before we say enough is enough? Nobody's trying to take away your guns before you start calling up to the station and worrying the hell out of Josh while we're trying to do this show. But what we are trying to do is have some regulation. The girl was arrested not too far from the state capitol building. Our lawmakers and our legislators need to do something. Time is out for the NRA deciding. Time is out for folks to be sending thoughts and prayers. Time is up. It's time to take a stand. It's time to be brave. It's time to be bold. It's time for our lawmakers to say, we're going to have some protection. We're going to have some limits. There's going to be some rules. There's going to be some laws. It's time for a change. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. When children have easy access to guns and they get into the hands of folks who should not have them. And if you want to say, we won't blame the parent. The parent should have locked the gun up. Parents should have put it in a lock. Of course. Of course. Of course. But we're living in a world and a culture right now where everybody has an easy access to a gun. And there are too many senseless shootings, too many children dying. And we want to send thoughts and prayers. Faith without works is dead. So anybody sending thoughts and prayers? Those faithful people, I want to know where your works are. We're sitting up here and we got laws for how you can talk on the phone in your car because too many people were having accidents. People were dying because folks were on their phone speeding through a school zone and not paying attention. So we created a law. Can't talk on your phone while you're driving. Got to be hands-free. And you talk on your phone if you want to while you're riding down the road. Some nice police officer is going to stop you and write you a ticket or a warning. If the people on the side of you don't start blowing and giving you the finger for breaking the law. Because you're putting people at risk. On the phone in your car. Your car that you paid for on the phone that you paid the bill for. Yep, there's a law on that. And you okay with that? Because it saves lives and makes everybody safe, right? Mm-hmm. You can't ride down the street in your car with your seatbelt off. The police will stop you. It's unsafe. But it's my life. It's my body. If I want to put my seatbelt on, I can, right? It has nothing to do with anybody outside of this car. No, that's the law. And the law enforcement will enforce that law. You ride down the street if you want to without your seatbelt on. They're going to pull you over and they're going to write you a ticket or give you a warning. Why? Because too many people were dying. And it's not safe. So if we can do something about these cell phones and we can do something about these seat belts, why isn't anybody standing up to say, you know what? Too many people have access to guns, especially young people. We need to do something. We need to create a law. It's not safe. It's not safe just like that phone and driving is not safe. It's not safe just like you riding down the street with no seatbelt on. It's not safe. But we just want to send thoughts and prayers when we got 13-year-olds with weapons in their hands. Oh, I know what you're saying. Where's the mom? Where's the dad? Where are we? It takes a village. We are part of this child's village. If you are in the Twin Cities and you are listening to this story or you are reading it somewhere or you are tuning into this show, we are all a part of this child's village. So what are we going to do? And the sad thing is we are living in a society where we want to point the fingers and place the blame, but don't want to take any of the responsibility. Are y'all okay with this? Because I'm just not okay with this. I'm not okay with a child, not one. 11 years old being shot in the head by another child. Y'all all right with that? Y'all all right with sending just thoughts and prayers on that? That's good for y'all? That's how you're living? What are we going to do to protect this village? And if you think it's just Frog Town, think again. Because the internet is binding and bridging our communities in ways that we cannot even imagine. See those kids from Frog Town that you think would never talk to your child in Minnetonka? They're playing video games online together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kid in Frog Town, the little girl who is accused of shooting the 11-year-old boy that you think would never have any dealings with your kid in Plymouth, they're in the same esports league. Mm-hmm. So if you think that this situation, this child, these guns, this access is not at some point going to knock on your door in Woodbury, please think again before you want to send thoughts and prayers and think this is something that happens over there. This is not something that happens over here. If you live in a gated community, guess what? There's no gate on your internet. Your child is communicating with people all over the world. And so while you sit with your legs crossed, with your arms folded, and you look your nose down at this 13-year-old girl who is arrested, who police say got access to a gun and shot an 11-year-old boy in St. Paul who is clinging to life. Before you think that does not have anything to do with you, check your child's phone. Check your grandson's esports league. Check your niece's emails and text messages. They are interconnected. This is your village. And it's about time you start taking care of the children in your village. We'll be right back. What's going on is our community needs us. Our kids need us to stand up for them and to do more and to do better. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh my God, it's going to be an amazing day. It is beautiful outside. It's cool, but it's crisp. It's 42 degrees. Tomorrow is Easter. I took my kids to North Minneapolis yesterday and we stuffed me and the kids and Sean and Marsha and Tony Carter and one of our church members, Miss Edwina. We stuffed 200 Easter baskets, stuffed and assembled, to give and hand out to kids in North Minneapolis who might want an Easter basket, who might want to just get a little bit of love. Right. We ordered the little boxes online and Sean assembled and the kids put the little grass in there. And then we had little Easter eggs with treats and stickers and fidgets in them. And then we put all the candy and, you know, peanut free, of course, Twizzlers and Jolly Ranchers and all kinds of cool stuff. Sour Patch Kids, you know, send them home all sugared up. And we were putting those together. And I was like, oh, you know what we're missing? We're missing the Easter Bunny. So I called a costume shop in St. Paul. And I was like, hey, let me rent the Easter costume. And I told Sean, go over there and get the Easter costume. And he was like, okay, so who go get in the costume? I was like, the dude who's picking it up is going to be you. So get the costume because we're going to pass out the baskets tomorrow on Easter Sunday. Sean's going to get in the costume and any kids who come up until we run out of candy. Like I said, we got 200 baskets. We were there all night last night making them perfect and putting them together. I'm looking at my kids and I'm like, this is going to be a great weekend. And then this morning I woke up and heard Al Shock reporting on the 11-year-old boy who is clinging to life right now. Who was shot in the head, and the 13-year-old girl who was arrested. And I'm looking at my 11-year-old kid and my 10-year-old daughter and my 9-year-old son. And I'm thinking, I'm a mama. Those are somebody's children. What's my role to play? What's my part to make it better? I don't want anybody's child clinging to life while I'm still living. What am I going to do? This is not an isolated incident. Access to guns. Our kids have access to guns. It's so common in this country. And we clutch our pearls every time an incident like this happens and say, oh my God, it's those people over there. No, those people are everywhere. Because when guns get into the wrong hands, especially into the hands of our children, these are babies. 11 years old is sixth grade. You should have a headache from doing fractions in sixth grade, not clinging to life because somebody put a bullet through your skull. Thoughts and prayers are needed. Yeah, and so is action. So you want to regulate somebody wearing a seatbelt because it saves lives. And you want to regulate talking on the phone in the car because you don't want the driver distracted because it saves lives. But you're okay with turning away and not legislating and putting some restrictions on and putting some blocks up so that our young people, our sixth and eighth graders, let me just put it in regular terms. 11 years old is sixth grade. 13 years old is eighth grade. So you're okay with that, but you don't want me to talk on the phone while I'm driving. You'll blow your horn at me if I'm on the phone driving, but you're okay with a sixth grader and eighth grader having access to a gun. You don't want to do nothing about that because you think they in Frogtown, it's not going to affect you in Minnetonka. It's not going to affect you in Plymouth. It's not going to affect you in Brainerd. It's not going to impact you. That's those kids over there in that part of town. My children in my private school over at Breck, we would never do anything like that. We don't even know anybody like that. You don't. I guarantee you, your kids do. If they're not the one you think you're not talking about. We have got to take a stand. We have got to say enough is enough. We have got to be bold and courageous enough to say, you know what? This probably gonna upset some folk. My legislator's not gonna want to hear this, but I have got to call DC. I've got to call my local office. I've got to set up a meeting. I've got to write a letter. Because more than thoughts and prayers are needed. And it's only getting worse. Remember when this kind of story was national news and we talked about it for a week? This story might not even make it to CNN because it's so common that guns are getting into the hands of sixth and eighth grade children. Are y'all okay with that? Y'all willing to go to sleep tonight and y'all gonna sleep good? It's not gonna bother you? You're not gonna feel the need to write an op-ed or a letter to the editor? Nothing, huh? Okay. And again, I tell you, when you say thoughts and prayers are needed, I tell you, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith. You better show me some works. What are you actively working on to make it better? I don't want my kids to be worried that their friends got a gun. I don't want their friends to have a gun. So what are we going to do about it? We are all in this village together. We are all in this village together. How are you going to make your village better? We'll be right back. Okay, y'all know me. I live my life out loud. And I have done some dumb stuff in my life. I have made my own problems and then I made them worse because I did not ask for help. Because I'm one of those people that I think I know everything. I know it's shocking. I know it's shocking, but I'm one of those people. And this is especially true when it comes to money. For the longest time, I had no money. Big student loan debts for a time, bad credit. And I was ashamed to reach out to anybody, which meant that I kept digging a hole for myself that got so deep. I looked up and I was like, there's no way out of here. And of course, nobody in my family could bail me out. They didn't have any money to loan me. They were down in the hole next to me trying to dig their way out too. We're just throwing dirt on each other. And the one thing that I realized is that nobody in my circle had the knowledge that they needed to find the answers. You know, you keep hearing people say, I want to build generational wealth. I want to build generational wealth for my family. I don't want my kids to struggle. I don't want my grandkids to struggle. You know, and you hear that, and that's a buzzword, but how do you actually get there? Well, this year at Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol, I was so fortunate and so blessed that Northwestern Mutual was one of my partners. They helped me put it on. They had workshops for the entrepreneurs to help them, you know, talk about managing their money and retirement and you know, how to do better so that the tax debt won't get so big and how to set up the SEP account. I mean, we were just getting so much information. I have like a little booklet from all the knowledge that I gained that day. And I was like, you know what? I can't keep this to myself. I got to invite them on. So joining me now is someone who can help all of us get on better financial footing. You know, you made those New Year's resolutions, girl. It is April. Okay. It is time to get started. Brian Mills is here. He is a financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual. He is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Shaletta. How are you?
I am great. And I need people to understand how to get their finances in order. I don't want folks who are listening to me to leave anything for their children or grandchildren to have to take care of. I know that when my grandmother died, we all had to pony up to pay for the burial. And that was on my side of the family. I didn't see that on Sean's side of the family. My people left a bill. Sean's side of the family left a will. And when Papa B went on home to glory, we were all better off financially. So I want to talk to you because I want to know, you know, what does building generational wealth even look like? How do you get started?
Well, Shaletta, first and foremost, thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor to be on what I think is the greatest radio hour that exists out there in the game. But yeah, I think it's a couple of things, right? So most people that I talk to, they want to know three things. When it all boils down, like there's a lot of questions and there's a lot of stuff, but it boils down to like three things. Where do I put my money? How do I protect against risks? And how do I win the tax game?
Yeah, because so, the taxes are a mess. Okay, I'm dealing with that now. I didn't know that when you make a lot of money, they take a lot of money. I didn't know that. Yeah, okay, okay.
They sure do. And, you know, just always the caveat, I'm not a CPA or a tax professional. I don't want to play one on the radio, but I can talk to, you know, certain things. But I think, you know, to kind of walk through those just a little bit, you know, where do you start? Where do I put the money? Well, you know,
right,
there's spending less than you earn. Just paying off your high interest debt.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that there's a lot of different options and a lot of different buckets. And I like to think that's one of the foundational pieces where working with an advisor can be helpful, because you see a lot of stuff on TikTok. You hear a lot of stuff on the news, and people, like, they need flashy highlights, right? They need
right.
The news of the day. And really, getting wealthy should be kind of boring, because you should have be looking at a diversified portfolio. You should be thinking about putting money away that you're not going to touch for a long time. And I think sorting out, taking the complex, making it simple, explaining what the different buckets you have as options and which ones make sense and in what order. Because a lot of people I talk to, it's, well, should I pay off the credit card or invest in my retirement or put some cash aside for a rainy day or this or that. And that's a big piece of it, is having that plan. And, you know, too, like protecting against the risks that can bankrupt you. I mean, you spoke just a moment ago, you know, things about if you die too soon and you leave your family holding the bag, if you live too long or you have a long-term care event, and, you know, those things cost an immense amount of money, especially in this day and age. If you get sick or hurt and you can't bring in your income, you know, knowing, again, kind of cutting through some of the noise on what those coverages look like, what they can and should cost, and how they're structured is something I think that is really important and is gets confusing but doesn't need to be. And then with the tax side, you know, what we do is a lot of education on how do you pay the legal amount that you need to pay, but also take advantage of the things that are carved out, particularly for business owners. And that's why it was really exciting to be a part of the Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol, because I think, and what I found in those workshops that we did, is there really is a hunger for the knowledge of the nuances and the things that you can take advantage of, whether that's, you know, setting up your kids for the next generation, or, you know, minimizing that tax bill so you can put it to work within your business. And because wealth is in the ownership, right? That's really the foundation of it, whether that's home ownership, business ownership, you know, your investment accounts, your insurance program, what, you know, when you own things and you own assets, that's really the foundation of generational wealth.
Now, you got to back all the way up, because most of the folks I know have never had a financial advisor, because they never had finances to advise about. Right.
Sure.
You make a certain amount of money. You pay your bills. If you have anything left over, that's a blessing. You might be able to go to the movies or something. And so talk to me about what a financial advisor does. I need you to tell folks what you do. What's a meeting like?
For sure. Well, I think at the base, at least for myself, like I look at myself as an educator and a connector and an accountability partner. Right. And so what we actually do is we have a conversation and I get to know your situation deeply. I get to know your goals, your objectives. You know, we find out the current situation, whatever it might be, and just understand the current state of affairs. And then we build a roadmap, right?
Okay.
We put down on paper, if you keep doing exactly what you're doing, here's where you're going to land in the future. Okay. For most people, whether they're in a good situation or situation they want to change, that's usually a little bit different than the ideal situation that they laid out with their goals, right? And so our job really is to, all right, so if where you're going and where you want to go are a little bit different, here's a detailed list of recommendations, what they are, how they work, and why I would do them if I were you. And that's the education piece. The accountability piece is really, I think the most powerful force out there is inertia, right? People are going to keep doing what they're doing until they have a really compelling reason to do something else.
Right.
And now, even if they have the compelling reason, they might not know which way to go. And that's where we're going to come in and build that roadmap and say, you need to go this way, and this is why. And I'm going to walk with you and keep showing you the way. Because I, you know, in past jobs, I was in, you know, sales roles that were very transactional. And the biggest reason I became an advisor was because I wanted to focus on the relationship piece. And I wanted these to be long-term relationships where people didn't just have an 800 number to call, but they had my cell phone number and could say, hey, Brian, like, we had a kid. We're going to buy a house. We had a big catastrophe happen, and now we're in debt. We, you know, the kid's going to college. Whatever those things that inevitably happen to everybody all the time, that I'm just there as things go by, and then the plan that we build is dynamic and can change and pivot and adjust and just keep you on track where ideally, we're building a plan that no matter what crazy stuff happens in life, which will happen, it doesn't throw you off the path that we put you on, and we're there to help you get there.
Okay, now I'm going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about something that we were bringing up at Black Entrepreneurs Day when we were sitting in those workshops that you were doing for folks for free. Thank you. You know, one of the things people said was, I don't have any money right now. I don't need a financial advisor. I don't have any finances to advise about. But one of the things that you talked about was not waiting until you get out of debt to make a plan for your money. More with Brian Mills when we come back. We're talking money, money, money with Brian Mills from Northwestern Mutual. He's joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Brian, you were one of the partners with me at Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol. You held some informational sessions with the entrepreneurs who were there. We had over 500 there that day lobbying the legislators. And, you know, people say, well, why were you talking about finances at the Capitol? Well, you know what? If we don't talk about it, then when are we going to talk about it? When are we going to address it? We've got, you know, 500 entrepreneurs. They need information. Brian has that. And one of the things that I kept hearing people say, Brian, when you were educating them was, I don't have any money. So why do I need to talk to a financial advisor? I should wait until I get out of debt. I'm going to pay off all these bills. It's going to be better. We're going to do better. I need to make a plan now for what? I'm in debt. When is a good time? When should a person talk to a financial advisor?
Right now, today. I love this question, Shaletta, and it's so true. And I think the analogy I always think about is, you know, you're walking down the street and you see somebody who's digging a hole, and they've dug the hole a little too deep, and now they're looking up and they're trying to figure out how they're going to get out. And you say, hey, man, you like some help out of the hole? And they're like, no, I just got to get out of the hole first.
And then I get the help.
And then I'll ask. And I say that jokingly, but I literally had a woman once. We had set up a meeting. She canceled the meeting, and I just reached out and said, hey, you know, did something come up? And she said, Brian, look, I need a financial plan before I can talk to you. And I said, you know, that's exactly what I do, right? She's like, yeah. And what it comes down to, and you probably know this, right? It's like mm-hmm. two things, usually. It's the perception it's going to cost a lot of money to mm-hmm. engage in that conversation, or two, there's some embarrassment because they think, I shouldn't be in this much debt. I should know more than I do. I should have saved more in my retirement account. I should. And the irony of it is most people I talk to think they're in a much worse place than everybody else when they're usually in about the same place as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking at everybody's Facebook posts and everybody's exactly. Twitter posts and everybody's TikTok video and everybody's Instagram account, and everybody look like they doing well. And what we don't know is that they're in the same situation that we're in, and we're all just trying to pay the interest rate off. Now, I need to know this because a lot of people didn't understand the value, and I still don't, right? Because this is new for us. A lot of us, I just got this money last summer. I ain't always had money. This new money. I've got to try to figure out how to handle this new money. So you have to tell me, even just as a person who is in these new spaces, how can working with a financial advisor help you to play the long game with your money? Because I don't want my kids to be struggling. I have 3 special needs kids. If something happens to me today, I got to make sure they got enough money to pay the co-pays. And if they got to get some special services and all of those things, I can't just check up out of here and not have a plan in place for my babies, knowing that they are vulnerable children. And if the Lord don't heal them, they're going to be vulnerable adults.
Mm-hmm. There's some really interesting academic studies on people who win the lottery, right? And so the vast majority of people who win a significant amount of money in the lottery, within a couple of years, what do you think happens?
That money is gone. Hot knife through butter. Yeah.
The money is gone, and or they get so stressed out about it, they either overspend it, they give it away, they don't know how to handle it, and they're right back to the exact same situation they were before they won the lottery. And I think that's not too different from what you just said, right? People who are the first generation maybe to go to college, to start a business, to have that money that, like, oh, this could be the money that really breaks this cycle. But if you don't have the habits, or you don't have, if you've never had it before, like, I found myself in this situation, right? Like, I grew up pretty blue collar. It was just like, you have student loan debt, you have credit card debt, you have whatever. Like, that's just how it goes. And then when you get on the other side of that, you kind of find yourself like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to do this. And I think where an advisor can come in and say, we're going to set up a system where we're going to determine what you want to do with this, and then do a combination of forced saving and putting it out of sight, you know, still yours. Like, we're not taking it. Right? We're just setting it up for you so that it just by itself goes off and it works hard. And then, because I don't know about you, but if I'm going to save money, I need a system. I need a forced saving, whether it comes out of your paycheck before you even see it and goes into a retirement account or a cash savings account that's somewhere else. Or, because I think if you don't, you're just going to do what you've always done. And if what you've always done is, you know, kept a little too much debt around or spent a little too much money, like, you're going to keep doing it. Like, you just are. You are, I am, anybody is. And so I think what an advisor can do is help build that system where it systematically goes the places that you say that you want it to. And then you're going to wake up in a couple of years and not be back where you were, but be much wealthier than you were and go, oh, this is pretty great. We should keep doing this. What are the other options?
Okay, now I'm getting text messages from folks because they are listening. And the beautiful thing about this show is folks respond in real time. So Kwaise, Michael, Gina, Aaron, and Shauna have all sent notes in my Facebook DMs, and they were like, where do we find this guy? So you gotta, before you check up out of here and we listen to CBS News at the top of the hour, you gotta tell us how we can get in touch with you, because these are all Black business owners who are saying, you know what, I just got this money and I don't want to lose it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Always taking new clients, always building. Easiest way on social media. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So you could just go Brian Mills, Northwestern Mutual, should be able to find me. Smiling in a blue blazer. And then that has all my contact information. Shaletta has my information directly. Shaletta, I give you full reign to share that out with the good people. Send me an email, give me a call. And that's the best way. I'm always open to have new conversations.
Like he said at Black Entrepreneurs Day, he ain't hard to find, and neither are we.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back after the break. It is 107. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Shaletta Show. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. Josh Wheeler is there in the historic WCCO Radio building in downtown Minneapolis. Al Schock is in the newsroom. We're bringing you the latest on information that's going to affect and impact you and your family and your neighbors. And your cousins and grandmama and them. And so I've been talking a lot today about safety and our children. And we always say, you know, we want to keep our kids safe, but do we really? We went as far as banning candy cigarettes in 2009. Remember those? I remember as a child going to the store and buying candy cigarettes and pretending to smoke. Somebody sold that and thought it was a good idea. They were indoctrinating us all those years ago. I remember playing on a playground at Bruce Elementary School in Houston, Texas. And I remember being in fourth grade, and there was a billboard right outside of the school property. And on that billboard was a Newport commercial. And those beautiful black people looked so happy and so excited and so in love. It was a couple. They were just, oh, just the best looking couple I've ever seen. And their happiness was tied to that cigarette dangling out of their mouth. And we think, oh, we've come so far. We would never, ever do anything like that to our children. Candy, cigarettes. Oh, my God. Who ever thought that was a good idea? Well, guess what? Here we are in the year of our Lord, 20 and 24, letting our kids run around freely with flavored e-cigarettes, vaping, and doing hookah. How is that safer? Using nicotine flavored or not harms the development of their brain. It messes with our kids' attention, the learning, the mood, the impulse. It's creepier and it's having a longer impact. See, I was smoking candy cigarettes. These kids are vaping real nicotine. And I was talking to my son Andrew about this. And I was doing some research for this segment. 1 in 7 11th graders use e-cigarettes. I said, oh, my Lord, we got to talk about this. And so I started calling some folks who knew some folks. And the one person they kept sending me to was Sina Giletto. She's a community outreach coordinator for North Point Health and Wellness. She works on local and statewide tobacco policy and advocacy. She's doing some incredible things in our community. And I am honored to have her join the Shaletta Show on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Sina, thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
You are a student at the University of Minnesota studying biology. And you are so involved with Minnesotans for a Smoke-Free Generation. There is a bill that will end the sale of tobacco products in Minnesota, and you are all over that thing. Talk to me about this.
Hi, yes. So Minnesotans for a Smoke-Free Generation is a coalition of more than 60 organizations, and North Point Health and Wellness, where I work, is one of them. And we all share a common goal of striving towards a smoke-free generation where every person is free from commercial tobacco harms and we can all reach our full health potential.
And you know, that is a tall order. And so there's some proposed legislation at the Capitol that you and I were talking about, led by Representative Ethan Cha and Senator Bobby Joe Champion, who was a part of Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol. So he and I are connected. Talk to me about the legislation that is coming down the pipe.
Yes. So this bill is a ban of all flavored tobacco, and that includes menthol and hookah, so all flavored tobacco. And the Health and Finance Policy Committee has held a hearing on the legislation, and it's also been referred to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. And so that hearing will be held in legislation on March 25th, which has already passed. And so the bill has been laid over and sitting in Commerce.
And so talk to me about what we can do, because my folks who listen to my show know that we're not just going to listen and be entertained and then go on about our business. There's something that we can do as parents, as caregivers, as people who have teens in their lives that they love. One and what? I mean, I just couldn't believe it when my son was telling me about all the people that he knows who are vaping, who are, you know, using this flavored e-cigarettes, and they're getting the hookers. And it's amazing to me, and frightening as well as a parent. And so tell me, what can we be doing? Because you are immersed in this. I'm just finding out about it, but I know I want to do my part, and so many other people do as well.
For sure. The first step is obviously education, learning about what these products are and how addictive nicotine is. The second step would be calling your representatives, calling your senators, calling your council members, letting them know that you're in support of this bill, and which will help the greater Minnesota in living health, mm-hmm. healthy lives.
And you are a young woman, and here you are taking on this responsibility of not only educating people, but making yourself available. I know you have to do that as part of your job, but what you are doing is going way beyond community organizing. You're changing and saving lives. How did you, what drew you to this job as an advocate?
Yes. So I work in the policy and advocacy department at North Point, and we focus a lot on tobacco work and obviously try to get this bill passed in Minnesota. And we also focus a lot on health equity and marginalized communities. And a lot of this health policy work, when we look at these big tobacco companies, they're really targeting not only our youth, but are people of color and the LGBTQIA plus community. And so this work is really important, not just for the youth and for the young people, but they're targeting a lot of different populations, especially in our state. Mm-hmm. And so working on completely having health equity throughout the state of Minnesota.
Well, I can't thank you enough for the work that you do. You are an inspiration to so many people younger than you, and those of us who are older than you. You are, we are leaving our state in capable hands with you as one of our up and coming leaders. Sina Giletto has been joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We'll be right back. Okay, we're about to get back into a time machine. All the way back to 1985. Why? Because I just found out my friend Chrissy Ott from Fleming Middle School in Houston's Fifth Ward is in town. She just DM'd me and was like, Shaletta, I'm in Minneapolis. I know you're busy, but I would love to see you. I was like, see me? Girl, you're about to be on my radio show. What's going on, Chrissy?
Hello, Shaletta. Oh, my God.
Hey.
So good to hear your voice. How are you, girl?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I just am cracking up that this is what you do, man. You just, like, call your friend up, and then next thing you know, you're live on her radio show.
That's how life be. I was just posting on social media. I was like, oh my God, Chrissy's in town. She is like the best ballet dancer I have ever seen in my life. I've never seen anybody more graceful. I remember us being in middle school. We were in like seventh, eighth grade. And girl, the rest of us would just look with our mouths open. We'd never seen anything like that, girl. We were all like two left feet, two left arms, breaking the elbow.
No,
it was like you were just the gold
dancer.
Standard. Oh, girl, I miss you so much. Girl, how are you doing?
I am so good. I mean, ups, downs, all arounds, but it's just beautiful to get to be in touch with you. I'm thinking right now of this piece with Miss Hafling, and we were in like blue shiny tights, and we were in white leotards, and we were the waves, girl. We were the waves, the foam on the waves. And I still have these printed out 4x6 pictures of you with your arms all out. I need to post this. I'm going to go ahead and find this when I get home. Look for it. Throwback Thursday,
okay.
Here we come.
Okay, what are you doing in Minneapolis? What you doing in my town?
You know, I'm in Minneapolis to visit my very good friends, the Birchhills, who are Australian originally, and we met in Portland, Oregon on the MAX, which is our public transport, and we just, like, went to coffee and have become fast friends for the last 15 years. Like, they're some of my best friends, and they live here now. And every once in a while we come up to visit. And I was like, oh, I need to reach out to Shaletta next time. And here we are.
Yes. Okay. So now I have to meet you and then meet your friends, and your friends have to become my friends. And so we all just, and then we can all take public transportation together. But you have just always been that like person. Like you will meet somebody and all of a sudden they just become like your brand new best friend. You were just always so amazing and so kind. And that is just who you are. And I just
think it takes one to know one, Shaletta. I mean,
girl,
you have been this beam of light all that time.
Girl, I know people be thinking I'm faking. They're like, she not like this all the time. Yeah,
no.
This is.
Ever since she was sitting behind me in Mr. Powell's. No, wait, you were in front of me.
I was in front of you. Okay. I was in front of you.
It was
you were behind
years
me.
Ago, but you were in front of me and Shaletta was behind me.
Yep, because it was Shaletta and Shaletta. See, she was CH, I was SH. And so
that's
I remember
right.
being behind in front of you because I would look back on your paper for answers. So I know for sure because I was never
also,
really good at math.
You were Michael Jackson and she was Prince. And I was
yes.
the man in the middle.
Yes, I remember that because I was the Michael Jackson fan. And girl, we were beefing like it was like real tense. It was like real tight because we were ready to kill each other, girl, back then, girl. Because it was like, girl, that East Coast, West Coast, they have nothing on the Michael Jackson versus the Prince fans because we were ready to do each other harm. And then Duran was just really cool and peaceful.
Yeah.
Girl, but I pray every day, and this is like a joke, I pray every day that my daughter has friends like you. People in her life who are good to her, who are kind to her, who are loving to her, because, you know, and this is the thing that we were friends in middle school and we still cool, you know, and middle school
That's
is
right.
a tough time. Middle school is a tough time, especially for girls. And to be able to have
That's
a
right.
friend from middle school, that's 40 years of love. When you
unique.
Go all the
it
way
is.
Back. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and when I
yeah.
see Tanya and I see Sunshine, I see Shaletta on social media, I'm like, those are my people still.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of love from that time.
Yeah,
really
it
unusual.
Was.
We are,
okay,
we
so
are very
you,
blessed to think about that.
You got to tell me, how did that happen? Because we are all different ethnicities. We are all different races. We came from so many different backgrounds. Some of us were from families who had a little piece of money. Some of us were in Section 8 housing. Some of us didn't have a house. Some of us were sleeping in the car, literally, moving from place to place because, you know, we were just in that situation. But somehow, girl, we pressed past all that. What is with that? Is it just love? I never was able to put my finger on it.
You know, part of it probably was how different everybody was. We were just like, yeah, and we're kids in this here language arts classroom with Mr. Gary Powell up in here, please. I mean, let's just say for a minute, Mr. Powell, love. So much love,
yeah.
Mr. Powell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Special man. Such special
yeah.
man. So there was a lot of love and stuff around us, but also we had to also survive that school. There was some
yes.
survival and some
yes,
love.
Yes,
okay?
yes, yes.
There was
yes.
some of both. We had a little bit of, like, you know, in the foxhole together, but also
yeah.
we go and, like, express ourselves with that incredible art class they had. Oh, they had some great arts in that fine arts school in
you know what?
Fifth Ward.
I said the other day, you know, now you got to pay for the instrument. You've got to get the lessons outside of school. And for parents who don't have a car or don't have the money to rent the instrument or buy it, these kids don't have art, girl. And I, you know, when you go all the way back, the lowest common denominator is we're talking about dance. We're talking about language arts. We're talking about, playing the violin. We had that art all around us. And I really believe that, you know, that takes some of the stigma, the frustration, the differences away, because it doesn't matter where you're going at the end of the day if you can all come together for something that's shared. And when you start taking art out of the school and you start taking music and dance and fine arts out of the school, girl, what else are we gonna do? We're gonna fight, we're gonna cut up, we're gonna cuss, we're gonna act a whole fool because we don't have to get to practice. We were so busy. Look, we didn't have time to cut up because
mortar,
we were busy,
you know?
But,
it's like removing the mortar from between the bricks. They're just gonna crumble.
Yeah, we got to get Art back in school. And I got to get back to my show, girl. I'm so glad you came and hung out with me.
Oh.
Okay, as soon as the show is over, I'm going to call you so we can meet somewhere. Because I got to hug
call
your
me.
Neck. We got to take some pictures, get it on the gram, and let everybody
yes.
know we hanging out again after 40-something years.
I love it. We're about to have lunch at Brasa. You meet us over here. We'll see you soon, girl. What time are you off?
Okay, girl. Girl, you know what? I think I'm going to get off early. Let me see. You know what? I think I'm going to call in sick. I don't feel good. I feel like I need to go to Brasa. My doctor has prescribed me some Brasa, and the Brasa will help me to feel better. Yes, Dr. Christie says Brasa.
I love
you too, girl. All right. Okay, thank you. All right, bye. Okay, and you know what? She was kind of joking, but seriously, my show's preempted today because the Twins are playing the Royals at 3 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 2:30, and Steve Thompson is coming up 1:30 to 2:30. He will be here talking all things Twins. He's got your weather. He's got the latest on news and information about that horrific shooting in St. Paul where an 11-year-old boy is clinging to life. We'll have all that and more with Steve Thompson coming up next.